What'd you eat for dinner?
Salsa chicken.
Ooh, how'd that go?
It was pretty good.
In the crock pot?
In the pot, yeah. It was almost a disaster because I started cooking it and I was like, I think it's supposed to be on warm if it's not frozen. Because there's low, warm, and hot temperatures, right? And so I was like, yeah. Well, I just bought this, so I'll put it on warm. And I checked after like 3 hours and it was not cooking. And I was like, shit. So I cranked it up to hot and I like, it was a miracle it was done in time.
Yeah. I went to Room 40. Have you ever been there?
What is that?
It's a restaurant. It's like around here. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
I don't think so, no. Hmm. What is that?
What is what?
Room 40.
Room 40's nuts in your mouth?
Mm.
Got him.
Nice. That's pretty good. Dude, I've been getting people on Valorant all the time because I have an attachment thing on my gun. It's called a Riot Gun Buddy. It's just like a little charm that hangs off your gun, right?
Nice. Finally.
And you only get it if like a Riot dev, who's like the developer of the game, is in one of your games and is like, you're a cool player. Have a Riot Gun Buddy, right?
Oh, nice.
And so I got that like a while ago because a teammate was being a dumbass and like shitting on this other player who like wasn't talking, but I was like, he's doing fine, like you need to like do this, we should try this kind of deal. By the end of the game they gave me one. I was like, sick. So now I have it on my gun and people ask me if I'm a Riot dev and I'm like, no, I got it during dev hour. And they're like, what's dev hour? And I'm like, devour these nuts. And it's like and it's thrown so many of my games because people actually get mad.
No, that's like such a, because that's such a specific one, you know?
Yeah, I know, which is why it works almost every time.
That has to be a developer.
Because people are like, yeah, because people know you get it from the developers. And I'm like, yeah, just get it during dev hour. And they're like, what's that? And I was like, what? I was like, what's dev hour? Yeah. And it fucking rips every time. But it's risky because if someone gets mad, then I might not win that ranked game. So,
yeah. Anyway, this is the Trade Writers Pod, the comic book club, where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
And god damn it, the listeners won't know, but it's been a while since we've last podcasted, because we did the last one early.
Yeah, it feels like...
It feels like forever since I've seen you, even though I've seen you a couple times since then.
It feels like...
Yeah, so...
But you record, then I saw you like the next day, you know?
Yeah, I know, yeah. It wasn't like we had any absence of seeing each other, but yeah. It feels like forever since I've been here.
Definitely.
So lots to talk about.
Yeah, we have different time codes in the description. We got the book, which is American Jesus. Back Matter Matters, the poll list, but we start with the news. Zoe Thorogood is writing a new book called Life is Strange with Claudia Lenardi.
Is it based off of something? Perhaps the Life is Strange video game series? Is that what that's called?
That seems like a reach. I can't remember where I saw this, and it's such old news.
It is absolutely a video game, so I'm curious to see if that...
Yeah, Life is Strange, Forget Me Not.
Interesting.
Oh, so...
I'm sure she's
She said she's the new writer of Life is Strange. So maybe it's a thing that's currently going on. She's doing the covers.
Yeah, that's totally it.
That's the game?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What is Life is Strange?
It's a series of narrative adventure games published by Square Enix's external studios. Hold on.
And Andrea Izzo on colors, I think.
Does she mention at all that it's based off of the thing?
No.
Hmm. Legal battles, I assume, will ensue. But that's interesting. Because I also do, have like, Zoe Thorogood news. She's going to be writing and drawing her own Harley Quinn story for DC.
Oh, cool.
It's called Harley Quinn and the Seven Sidekicks. And it's going to be included in Harley Quinn Black, White, and Redder issue 4. So look out for that. So, but that's cool. I didn't know if she was doing Life is Strange. I didn't see that.
Yeah. Then speaking of Batman characters, Ward is doing a Batman book called City of Madness.
Big news.
Coming October 30th.
Yeah.
October 10th.
He's been talking about it a lot, so you can tell that he really wants people to to pre-order it. And this is the first ever book that I've pre-ordered.
It's three issues, three prestige size, and there'll be 48 pages.
That sounds awesome.
Have you seen the pages of some of the panels?
I've seen a few of them, yeah.
Look nuts.
They do look nuts. And... he like has been wanting to do this for a while. Like he did like a fan art thing of some like weird cathartic like Batman horror art, and so I guess that helped him get like this thing.
Yeah.
Right. So pretty cool. I'm super excited for this.
Everyone should cool to
see him on Batman.
Everyone should let Christian Ward do whatever he wants,
because
he's going to destroy it.
He absolutely will. Yeah, he's one of my favorites. So yeah, super cool. And it looks like there's gonna be some Court of Owls in there, just based off the cover.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. Daniel, the video game publisher Insomniac, who's doing Spider-Man 2 and that Wolverine game that's going to be coming out, says that they're working on a third AAA project alongside those two. So
very cool.
A third superhero game, perhaps. That should be kind of cool.
What was the first one?
Spider-Man 2.
Oh, okay.
So just the PS4.
Yeah.
The PlayStation series.
Right.
And then Wolverine, which should be cool.
What if they asked you, Nathan, what Marvel game would
Daredevil.
You like? Great answer.
Yeah. It would just be like their Batman, which I think would be a little bit similar to Spider-Man.
I'd be like, so, Howard the Duck.
Hey. I need a Howard the Duck game.
Just imagine.
That would actually, I don't hate that idea.
That'd be kind of fun, you know.
I feel like it should be maybe like a team game, perhaps.
Nah.
Maybe not.
Overrated.
But I don't know who else I would do other than Daredevil. Like, I think there was.
Oh, maybe unless it's Fantastic Four or something.
Fantastic Four, yeah, I think would be kind of cool. Multiplayer, perhaps. I don't
know. Yeah.
Punisher. First-person game.
It's just a first-person shooter, dude.
Yeah, but then you can shoot fucking...
It's just no Russian, like, every level.
Like, Kingpin's the head boss person you gotta get.
Yeah.
You could shoot Marvel villains like Tombstone.
I guess.
That'd be kind of cool.
Or fucking... Who's that? A Jigsaw?
That's from the Saw series, Daniel. I think you're quite confused.
No, there's a character named Jigsaw, Nathan. You don't know because you didn't watch the Punisher series.
Yeah. Well, I watched the first season. Who's the Poindexter dude?
That's from Daredevil, dude.
No. He's
Bullseye?
No. You're right in what you're saying, but that's not what I'm talking about. No, the fucking... The coder,
it's like Ratchet or something.
It's not. That's not it.
Phase.
Gadget.
We can do this.
I'm looking it up.
Tech guy. Gear.
Gear.
Gizmo.
Gizmo?
It's not Gizmo.
It might.
It's got that.
Micro.
Micro. That's, it would have taken a minute to get to that.
I wouldn't have been able to get there.
That's the guy from The Bear.
Oh my god, you're right.
Yeah,
it's the older cousin. Wait, that's crazy. I didn't know that.
That's cousin, bro.
That's cousin.
yeah, that was the first thing I saw him in. I'm like, this guy's great. He needs to be in like a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I know. He's
and
really
now
good.
He's in a lot of stuff.
Good for him.
Good for him.
Nathan. Daniel.
No. Shit. You had your news.
No, I have mine now. New book from Tom King includes, he's doing something at Boom Studios with Peter Gross.
Wow, very convenient, Nathan.
Very convenient because we're reading a book by Peter Gross.
Yeah.
And his art is not gross. I think it's very beautiful.
Indeed.
He's changed his name.
Coming this winter.
Yeah, which should be
We don't know
cool.
what it is, though.
A secret, probably the most ambitious comic I've ever tried to write. I think he says that every time, but this one
American
has a bear.
Jesus 2.
This one has like a dog or a bear or something on it. That's definitely a dog.
American so. Bear.
American Ooh, bear.
The bear?
The bear.
The bear. The comic?
Wow.
You know the Junji Ito book, Uzumaki?
Yeah, I'm familiar.
It is getting, I think it's another anime adaptation that'll be coming out on like Adult Swim.
Tuzumaki?
No, it's just Uzumaki.
Again.
Again. And I saw a trailer for it. It looks really cool. It's going to be in black and white, like his artwork is.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So that would be scary.
It is pretty freaky. And it's very true to the book, which
That's
is
cool.
pretty neat.
Good for him. Daniel, we know who's doing Daredevil after Chip.
We do.
Yes.
Who's that?
It's going to be Daredevil, written by Saladin Ahmed.
Oh, cool.
And art by Aaron Cooter, which is pretty cool. Cooter?
How's it Cutter. Spelled?
K-U-D-E-R. You don't know Aaron Cooter? Cutter?
Stop, saying,
Stop laughing at
Stop
me.
Stop saying Cooter.
I've said Cooter my whole life. Cuter.
You said it in your head. I'd say Cooter. Or no.
Crap. Yeah, see, exactly.
Cutter.
No, you said Cooter already. It's going to be Cooter from now on. I'm going to look at it. I'm going to look up the pronunciation.
Dude, that's not a real last name. It's made up.
It's not made up. Hold on.
I'm sorry, Aaron, if you're listening to this. You probably made fun of that for your whole life.
Pronouncenames.com.
Cooter.
Stop laughing. It's his name, Daniel. Stop laughing. He's a great artist, Daniel.
It was like
look up his work.
It was like a
he's very established.
It was a woman's voice, and I thought I was expecting her voice to say
I wanted it to be the
it was just some dude saying, Cooter.
No, it's not. That was a girl.
Pronouncenames.com.
Don't laugh. Be serious.
Cooter.
No, it was a boy.
Cooter.
Stop it.
Why does this video go on for 20 more seconds?
Is poor just guy. Cooter? It's for they hold for the laughter.
It's like the Big Bang Theory.
Oh, poor guy,
dude. He's a great artist.
I'm glad I'm right.
I'm not glad that I'm right. And at the same time, yeah. For his sake, he's a great artist.
Definitely.
But I wanted it to be that like sexy like Mexican or Hispanic dude that he's always like, does.
Oh, we are listening
the pronunciation.
The names.
Yeah.
And Cooter.
That would have been great.
Cooter. And he says it twice.
Anyway, I'm excited for that. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read the Cooter book.
Oh, I forgot what we were talking about.
Daredevil.
Daredevil. Okay. Nathan.
Dana, speaking of huge comic books that are going to wreck the market,
Black
people
Widow.
Have been asking for it.
Oh.
Black Widow.
You know how she's like Venom now?
Yeah.
Did you see that design?
I don't think so. Do you have a picture?
I'll show you. Oh, a lot of fucking pictures of spiders came up. Black Widow Venom.
Yeah. Not great for SEO.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what this is?
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, cool. Lady Venom's back.
Yeah. No, we love a Lady Venom.
No, that's Natasha.
Yeah, because it's even got the Black Widow logo incorporated into the spider.
It should be called Romanov Venom.
Rovenov. Rovenomov.
Rovenomov. Look out. It's Rovenomov. Rovenov Venom, I think, is good. Anyway, Daniel. The big hot, huge news, I'll say for last. But
new Marvel book or something?
You'll see.
That's in the end?
That's it'll be at the end.
Okay.
Daniel, this December, Dark Horse Books presents Four Gathered on Christmas Eve. It's going to consist of four stories from renowned comic book creators. Eric Powell, not too familiar with his stuff, but he did The Good. But anyway, Mike Mignola, who you might know from Hellboy.
I do.
Becky Cloonan and James Herron are all going to do a like one single issue, I think, prestige anthology book, which is kind of cool.
Huh.
But yeah, that should be kind of
Christmas
cool.
Book?
Christmas book, Christmas anthology book. Eric Powell, Mike Mignola, Becky Cloonan, James Herron from like...
Ultra Mega.
Yeah.
Cool.
Big fan of him. So should be pretty cool.
How are the Ducks 50th anniversary? Is it going to be celebrated by a special issue by Chip Zdarsky?
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's so exciting. If you said anybody else, I wouldn't have had that reaction.
New Sam and Twitch book coming out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's what we were asking for.
And now, Kraven the Hunter, the movie has been delayed, Nathan. I'm sorry. I know you're looking forward to that.
It was like a long delay, right?
It went from this October to next August.
Holy shit. Yeah, so, it's like 9 months or some shit.
Yeah. And I'm not promoting this. I guess maybe me bringing it up can be a promotion. You know, bad publicity is good publicity or whatever. But Andrew Tate
is coming out. Yes, the big hot stinky news, Daniel.
He's coming out with a comic.
Top G.
And it's going to be $97.
Just a crisp $97 comic book to save comics, Daniel. And in it, he's going to be in the Matrix or whatever he says.
Yeah, and a douche.
On Andrew Tate's official landing site for DNG Comics, the label under which he's publishing the Top G comics, there are some details about exactly... Well, that's going to consist of...
If I see these in Ash Avenue Comics, I'm going to light them on fire.
Dude. Yeah, I wonder. No, surely no one's going to carry that, right?
Surely not. I think it'd probably only be like a thing like you order online.
It would have to be like a self-published, like direct thing. Yeah,
Drew wouldn't do that.
Yeah, but that is interesting because if someone does order it, like you should go to a different comic shop probably.
Yeah.
Because that's insane.
Definitely.
But he's also the guy who like calls anybody that likes Star Wars like a big nerd, a big dumb bitch idiot nerd.
Yeah.
So it seems interesting that he's making a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. I don't know. He's just doing whatever.
Loki season 2 got a trailer.
Oh, I saw.
Looks pretty cool. Got Ke-Huy Quan in it.
Yeah.
From Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yep.
And Joshua Williamson's going to be on G.I. Joe as a part of the Cybertron universe.
It's not called that. Energon?
Energon universe.
Yeah.
Cybertron's the planet.
That sounds like a gas station.
Energon?
Energon.
I would definitely go to that gas station.
yeah, I would too.
And they have like they have Transformers comics there.
Oh.
Right next to the magazines. It'd be dope.
We have to hit up Robert Kirkman right now and be like, listen, I have an idea.
Make gas.
You should promote the burning of fossil fuels.
Yeah.
Well, didn't comics used to be sold at like gas stations and shit?
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Newsstands and stuff like that.
Yeah. Spin racks. That's the one.
I think we were talking about it and we were like, are newsstands still a thing? You know? And I texted Jackie, who lives in New York. I'm like, are newsstands still a thing? And she's like, yeah, they're everywhere.
Oh, cool. Are there comics?
I don't know. I didn't ask that.
Text her again.
But it's basically like that, like little convenience stores, because I don't think they just have convenience stores places, I guess.
Mm.
Maybe not as frequent as you'd like.
It would be very convenient to buy comics at a newsstand, I feel like.
Dude, you're like never getting a 9.8.
Oh, absolutely not. But it would be, let's go to New York and open up a comic stand.
Damn, we'd be robbed so often.
Do they even want that though?
Some people think that like
comics
just
are
because
like,
comics is a comic that it has some sort of value to it, you know?
Yeah. One time I was reading comics in a break room at work and someone was like, are those comics? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, can I touch one? And I was like, yeah.
Like, just because you asked like that, no.
Yeah, I know. He's like, whoa, how much do these run you?
The price is like, on the fucking front.
I was like, they're like $4. And he's like, whoa. which I was very, I wasn't like salty like that. I was like, no, they're like, I was very nice. You
maybe
know?
One day I'd be open to actually bringing comics into work, but just because of that experience of yours, I'm not going to.
It's fine. You can do it. There were other coworkers that used to read comics too, so it was fine.
That's cool.
It was a safe space.
Yeah. It depends on, as long as the environment's right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into the book, Nathan. We read American Jesus by Mark Miller, Peter Gross, and
Gene McGee on colors and Corey Petit on letters.
You still don't bring your tablet?
No, I just kind of scroll through it on my phone and I have the notes on my computer, so I don't really see a need to. I love reading on it though.
Oh, it's the best.
It's so clutch.
Yeah.
It's so choice.
So choice.
We should bring that back.
Yeah, dude.
It's so funny to say.
But anyway, we got a Simon Pegg intro.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Which is pretty neat.
They're big buds.
I guess.
I don't know why. Like I read,
I think they're both Irish.
Ooh, yeah, that's probably why.
So, maybe there's not a lot of people in Ireland or something.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, they're both like comic book people as well.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, I never made that connection. I was like, oh yeah, because he does like the shows and stuff, but he hasn't done any Mark Miller shows.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was kind of cool. What'd you think of the book overall?
You know, not what I expected. It felt a little like incomplete, which sucked.
Okay.
You know, because it just kind of ends and it definitely feels like there's more.
There is. They know there's multiple volumes.
But like, it feels like there's more to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think so. This trade is 3 issues or 3 chapters.
Yeah.
And it feels like they could have just done 6.
Yeah.
Like collected them in chunks of 6. And I think it would have been a little bit more context. But I still think that this is like a solid arc.
Sure. Yeah.
Because it like has a fairly defined like beginning, middle and end, I would say. Like a 3-act structure almost for like this. Yeah. For like this book of the story.
So
I I do get what you're saying, but I think this has like enough in it to be like collected as its own volume.
I think you can get the gist of what this is going to be just by looking at like the cover. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think I was too surprised by anything in this.
Yeah.
You know, so the issue with this trade and this story all around. So the second, so this trade came out in 2009, right?
Okay.
The second trade did not come out until 2019.
Whoa, really?
So 10 years later, they have a volume two.
That's crazy.
And it doesn't even have anything to do with Jody.
The second volume doesn't?
Yeah, it's like a different story.
They rebooted?
As a different person.
So what's the show going to be based off of?
This. And
wait.
And volume three, like the third volume of this, came out this year.
I thought there were four volumes out.
There's three.
Whoa.
And the third volume has both of them. So that's when this thing continues. Like 13 years later. 14 years later. You know what I mean?
That's insane.
So like this book was like in his like catalog for like 10 years unfinished. You know what I mean?
Like when you finish a Miller book, it's like Miller World. Look at all this shit.
Yeah.
And then it's like American Jesus
is always there.
And I've always seen it and I'm like, I don't want to read a Jesus book.
Right.
But... yeah, that's interesting that he's advertising so much. And
so,
is it finished?
I don't know. I assume so.
I assume so, too. Because you think after 15 years, you'd be like, let's just wrap it up.
Yeah, they got you got Peter Gross back, which is good.
That is good, because I would have been disappointed if it was a different artist.
But, like, the deeper I go into, like, Mark Miller's catalog, I like him less.
I
like his body of work less, you know?
I agree.
I don't have anything wrong with him.
I like the good stuff.
Yeah, there's like the good stuff that you like hear about and you like go into the other stuff and then you're just like, nah, this is early on, I guess. You
yeah.
know? So.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, he's a busy guy. He's got some, you know, movies made. I don't know how.
Don't make excuses for him.
Yeah, fair. That's fair.
He's probably one of the richest men in comics.
Yeah. The?
Top five, top ten. No, I'd say Kirkman, like Kirkman probably.
Probably. And then I would say Miller.
McFarlane?
Mignola?
Maybe.
Because I think McFarlane has a lot of his from toys.
Yeah, but that started... it's like comic-based stuff, you know?
Disagree.
I guess like...
I would say solely comics, because I feel like Miller and Kirkman are like solely comic stuff. I guess...
yeah.
Kirkman probably gets like kickback from merch sales on Invincible stuff and all that. I don't know. Yeah,
Kirkman's doing well.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's get into it. Or go ahead.
Yeah, how about I give my opinion for once, Daniel?
Sorry.
I don't normally like books about religion and stuff.
Yeah.
And this book was okay. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I thought it has an interesting little twist at the end.
Sure.
That I didn't pick up on at first until I started reading the back matter, and I was like, oh. I was like, wow, that's crazy.
It didn't hit you when you were reading it?
I was like, okay.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Not to spoil it.
Yeah, but I think Peter Gross is pretty dope. I don't think I've seen his work before, but I've heard of him.
Yeah,
you know, so it's kind of cool to see him do some stuff.
He could definitely kill it in like any kind of slice of life book, you know.
Yeah, and I agree.
He does really well with that.
Yeah, but let's get into it.
All right.
So chapter one: this kid named Jody is skipping school to find a porno mag in the woods with his friends, which is, I guess, is a thing. It must have been a thing, right?
Yeah.
Because I've seen it. I've seen this trope.
Yeah.
So much.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't there like a... What movies has this thing been a part of, you know?
80s stuff?
80s stuff, yeah. Where they're like trying to go jerk off in a bush somewhere, right? So...
basically.
Yeah. Anyway, they get to like an overpass bridge thing, and there's a commercial truck trying to avoid hitting a dog, and so the truck flies off a bridge and lands directly on Jody, but Jody survives without any real injury, which is crazy. And the father or chaplain of the hospital, is that a thing still?
Sometimes.
Okay. And father,
well, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, Father Tom O'Higgins, he talks to Jody's parents and he's like, that shit was crazy, let me know if you want to talk. But everyone knows that this guy's kind of lost faith in his religion because he's lost because of like some family deaths and stuff.
Yeah.
How do we feel about Peter Gross's children? Because children typically seem pretty hard to draw.
How old is he supposed to be? Like 14?
He's like 12.
12.
I think Jody's pretty good. I think some of the other kids, I'm like, this could be an adult.
I think what he does is like just not draw the bridge of anyone's nose.
But then when he does draw the bridge of the nose, like he, there's this like, person's.
Now he's 24.
His friend Jody. Look at this.
Oh.
It's a tough angle, sure.
Poor kid. I think he does well. It's not like he's drawing like toddlers. You know?
But I think the key with kids is not draw the bridge of the nose.
Yeah.
And then just like don't draw any wrinkles or whatever.
They're just faces with nostrils.
Pretty much. Yeah. But I love how he draws this priest, Father Tom O'Higgins.
Yeah.
There's such like a raw, authentic like facial anatomy there. And you could tell that he's just like not right, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he just looks so worn and tired, you know, and I think that's really, I think he nailed that.
Yeah, he like really puts like his character like on the page without really telling you anything.
Yeah, like you can look at this character and be like, okay, he's religious, but god damn it, is he tired, you know?
Yeah.
So I think he's nailed that. But Jody stayed home from school for a while after the accident, still not really sure how he survived without any broken bones or bruises really. But when he goes back to school, he's like acing all the tests and he knows all the curriculum despite being like a bad student before. So he's like going to his history teacher and the teacher's like, why are you cheating? And he's like, I didn't. And then so he asks him all these questions and he just gets it right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love seeing comic books in the background of comic books, you know?
Why would you see?
So when he's staying home from school, he's talking to his friend Sarah or whatever her name is. And there's Avengers in the background. Because Jody's a comic book reader.
Yeah, I see Defenders.
Defenders is an interesting choice. I feel like Mark Miller always has a lot of his characters read comic books. Because it was like a thing in Kick-Ass too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe one other that I can't think of, but...
Yeah, he definitely does.
So
his teacher's like quizzing him, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, how'd you get like perfect score? And then he's just like asking him all this like random stuff about like...
Well, he's like a history teacher.
Yeah, yeah. He's like...
He's asking about, like, the Kennedy administration.
Yeah, just like, who's, like, the Secretary of Defense during the Kennedy administration? I'm like, there's no shot you need to know this for school. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, these specific kind of details.
Yeah, but I love when teachers get diced up like this, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, hey, there's one where he asked, and there's, like, two answers. And he's like, are you talking about this guy or this guy?
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck yeah.
Is it, like, did he just, like, know everything?
Like, in the universe?
I don't know, just like stuff.
I guess he...
Because like when I see this and this kid is like, you know, the second coming of Jesus or whatever.
Does Jesus know about these precedents?
Does he know about at least the stuff in that time? You know?
Like yeah.
Everything?
No, I think you only know about the Kennedy administration, even if it hadn't happened yet.
He just got really lucky in that test.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I don't really... Yeah, because when you think of Jesus and when he comes back, he's not like... really good at math, you know, they don't really talk about that. So
he just walks around.
It's just like a weird power that Miller's like put on to Jody for whatever reason, and it doesn't come up again.
Yeah.
It might later, because there's a part of the story where he's like an adult, like in the future or the present, I guess. But yeah, maybe it comes up later and this is just planting a seed. But yeah, it seems like an interesting choice.
Yeah.
I think it's a good scene to show that like some mysterious stuff is like actually happening, because he wasn't a good student before and now he's dicing up his history teacher.
Yeah. And he's in like the teacher's lounge or whatever. And like all these teachers like asking him shit.
Yeah.
And he's just answering them. And
one of them was the quadratic formula, which is nothing crazy, right?
Yeah.
That's just like one formula.
Right. But maybe like in like sixth grade,
I guess he is 12. That. When do you learn the quadratic formula? Like middle school? Geometry?
You know, he said it and I'm like, must not learn that.
Are you serious? I guess I did take like 4 semesters of calculus, so.
I took calculus and statistics.
But how many?
A year?
I don't think you need it in statistics. It's like a linear formula.
I'm like just that. Trying to flex here. Okay. But so he's in the teacher's lounge and then like his mom like comes in and she's like pissed that he just knows so much. I'm like, why are you mad? This is cool.
I know. I'm like, this is great.
I'd be like, sick, dude.
Yeah. Like your life is going to be easy from here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, when mom brings him home, she reveals that her and Jody's dad have never had sex before, which is weird.
Yeah.
Not only just to admit that to your son, but I guess that also means that she's also like the Virgin Mary.
Yeah.
And she basically says that Jody's Jesus and then gives him like a Bible to go study. And that's pretty much like this issue.
But so that also doesn't like...
But why is she surprised?
She didn't say she's a virgin, you know?
She didn't. Oh, that's fair.
So it could have been... Jody could have been like some other dude's kid, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. I think she...
Which Jesus might have been. I don't know.
Ooh. Probably.
That if you're watching this, I'm sorry.
Yeah. But, yeah, so did you read some of the back matter stuff?
No.
There's a really interesting back matter page that talks about like this last page of the issue, and Peter Gross is talking about some of the shit in the background, right? And there's like an unsolved Rubik's cube, which is like there's something here to be solved. Yeah, it is ginormous. But he's like, I put a Rubik's cube in the background because like there's something here to be solved. You know, there's like a little puzzle here.
And I put Darth Vader because he's cool.
He did have a reason for these. Like he wanted that because I'm just going to say like what the twist is at the end, but he's like the Antichrist or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so he likens that to like Star Wars. They mentioned Star Wars a little bit later in this book as well.
Yeah.
So that's like on purpose. There's like a locked box here or whatever. And he said some shit about that. So also,
yeah,
and
the second
is the Antichrist, Daniel, there's a clock there and it's on the sixth minute on the sixth hour.
Ooh.
So like that's two of the three sixes of the bad number.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting.
That's interesting. The he like relates like the testaments to Star Wars in the second issue,
and he's got some good points.
Yeah. So the Darth Vader thing makes a lot of sense because like
he was the good guy, and then
because like Anakin is a lot like Lucifer.
Yeah,
because he's like an angel and a fallen angel, and now he's like the Lord of like hell, aka like
was Lucifer or, like a Sith. Good angel first?
He was like an angel, yeah, first.
Oh, okay,
and. And because he was like an angel, angels like these like beautiful things. And so like when they fell, when he like was cast out of heaven, it was like an attractive thing almost. And so like others would follow after that. But he was kind of like the
first one to do it.
Yeah, he was
the trendsetter,
like an archangel. So
the X-Men.
Yeah, the X-Men.
Whoa.
And. So I think he was kind of like in like certain iterations, he's kind of like a favorite child of God kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something.
That is something.
Yeah, that's a deep cut just for like a little 2-inch thing on a page.
Yeah. Chapter 2, Daniel. 2 of 3. There's only 3 chapters. Yep. I missed this before.
We're halfway there.
So Jody...
Oh, he thinks he's a mutant. I thought that was funny.
That was good. And he's like, what are you saying, Mom? She's like, I'm saying. And he's like, I'm a mutant?
And my mind would go first.
I hope that joke is in the show.
Yeah.
They probably won't mention like X-Men comics and shit in there.
Yeah.
But I hope it's in there at some point. So chapter 2, Jody goes to Father O'Higgins' house, who's now watching after Angel, who's the dog that ran in front of the semi truck, which caused it to go off the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Mark Miller. You could choose a better name than Angel, right? That's a little on the nose.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Is Jody supposed to mean something? Does that ring a bell? This isn't like a pop quiz or anything.
Nah.
Yeah, I just thought Angel, it's like, make it like... a different angel's name, like a famous angel's name. Make it Mary.
Gabriel.
Yeah.
Daniel. Lots of things.
Beelzebub. I like that meme.
Lucifer.
Yeah, so he's watching after that dog now. O'Higgins does not think that Jody is Jesus, despite him healing someone that has asthma. Like, he has healing powers now. So Jody, like, goes to his friends, and he's trying to, like, cure the blind and turn water into wine and stuff. And he does it successfully. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, shit, this is the real deal. Daniel, we haven't talked about it yet, but the watercoloring is so money in this book. It's so choice. Especially like in the skies, like there's this panel where they're all hanging out by a tree or whatever.
Yeah.
And it almost looks like the Northern Lights or some shit. But like with watercolor, it is gorgeous. And I don't think that the watercoloring is like overpowering or anything. Like it's not like distracting at all. Like it seems very natural coloring like within this book, and I think that Gene nailed it.
Yeah.
And the colorist is Peter Gross's wife or girlfriend at the time or whatever.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. This book kind of like, on top of relating the testaments to Star Wars, it like also like kind of challenges some Christianity stories, which I thought was like interesting.
Like what?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask. I just wrote down that note. So he's like, what about this book my dad's got that says Jesus never existed? I can't remember the details, but it said that the Greeks, the Egyptians, the Scots, and the Irish all had the same legend thousands of years before the Christians made them up.
Yeah.
So I don't know like how true that is, but it sounds like something that him, like Mark Miller would know because he's Irish.
Yeah.
And so he's probably...
I think he's very interested in religion and like politics.
Yeah.
Typically. Well, he says that in the back matter because he spends like a lot of his time in fantasy worlds or whatever, that it's kind of made him more interested in like non-fictional stuff, which I think in turn fuels some of his creative visions.
Sure.
But yeah, I think that's totally relevant. Yeah. So like his friends are talking about like what it means that he's Jesus. And they're like, are the other religions wrong? You know, is right. Christianity like the one?
Exactly.
And Jody's like, it's not my fault. They're backing the wrong horse, which is so funny. But what does it mean? You know, it's interesting. But
is he even Jesus?
Is he even Jesus? No,
he could just be like a dude who like
just got superpowers.
Some powers that are very similar to Jesus.
Yeah. You know? He could be just a mutant. Like,
yeah.
Xavier could have came up at the end of this and been like, we have to go to the school now. So meanwhile, the adults and some other kids bully him for like this whole Jesus complex thing. But later that same bully has Jody wake his dad out of a coma, who was the driver of the semi truck in the accident, who was put into a coma
before that. So he's at home having dinner or whatever. And then the bully comes to his door and his mom's like, oh, Jody, your friend's here.
Yeah.
Why did his mom let him leave if that was not his friend? You know,
I think
he's got a Negan leather jacket on.
He does have a leather jacket.
That's always a bully.
You can't have friends with a leather jacket.
You know?
You have a hierarchy and you're at the top.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I think Jody was like, what do you need? Because he wouldn't show up and he looked like pretty ashamed almost to be there.
So yeah.
In my interpretation of Jody's like, all right, let's see what this is about, you know. But
yeah, the leather jacket
thing is pretty funny because that's only bully shit that you wear.
Mm-hmm.
Some greaser stuff. So he heals this dude's dad. He like wakes him out of a coma, but he also heals his broken leg, which I think is interesting.
Oh,
like not only can he like perform miracles, but he's got like healing powers. So he's like definitely mutant,
which is also a miracle in itself,
I guess. But it's like I would interpret like a miracle as like, oh my god, he woke up. How crazy is that he woke up out of his coma?
Yeah.
But like him healing his leg, it's like, this is not possible. But at the same time, he does turn water into wine, so mm-hmm. it's like whatever. So people start like praying outside of his house and like the sick are showing up and they want to be healed. People are like selling his soil because they think it has like healing powers or whatever. But nothing's made on the national news yet because he's in like a small town. People don't really care yet. So Father O'Higgins tells him to stop, like, doing this shit. Jody calls him out for being bitter about his dead relatives, which is a little crazy. And then Jody is kicked out. And then there's, like, this leering theme that, like, if Jesus is real, then is Satan also real? And I really love the way that it's displayed on this really crazy, like, Lovecraftian, Renaissance-y, I don't even know what to call it, like, art piece.
Biblical?
Maybe. I don't know, but it's like something about
H.P. Lovecraft. Yeah.
a little
before that. This looks just like a scan from a Bible or something. If there's pictures in the Bible, I don't know.
Because it like... Because Gross
this doesn't
has
look
not
like
produced
Peter
anything.
This doesn't look like him.
I mean, Peter it might Gross. Be. I don't know. This is the first time I've read anything from him. Because like the promotional art and the Tom King thing looks wildly different from this.
Did he even reveal anything? I just thought it was their names.
You saw like... their names and there's like a dog or something behind them, and it doesn't look like what he does here, where this seems like
it didn't look like the dog in this book.
No.
Oh, okay.
Didn't look like Angel.
Did it look more
detailed? It looks more like something I can't even compare it to. Here, I can show you actually.
Like a Phil Hester kind of thing.
No, it's nothing like that. Like it seems more, I guess I had to say traditional comic book art, but
okay,
like a little bit more detailed,
like a shaky cane.
There's no Oh, I forgot to bring that for you. Damn it.
I know. I meant to text you. I also forgot to remind you. So
here. So like you can kind of see the dog in the background and like there's more rendering and detail and stuff, right? Yeah. So it looks different. So I don't know what
that looks like, a Stray Bullets kind of dog.
Yeah, I couldn't compare an artist to it. Maybe like a Hitch or something, but
it's not quite that.
Yeah,
exact.
But like this piece of art looks. Have you seen like the Bernie Wrightson piece?
Maybe Declan Shelby. Go ahead.
No, Declan. I don't think Declan. Have you seen Bernie Wrightson's stuff?
No,
he's like
a
really old comic book artist. He's dead, I'm pretty sure.
Mm.
But he has some of maybe I think the most unbelievable comic book art to like ever bless a page, because he's got shit looks exactly like this, rendered the same way with like these contour lines that are vertical or horizontal.
Oh yeah,
I could look it up.
Like the stripes on it are basically the shading kind of thing.
Yeah, the stripes are like it contours like the body and stuff, so like that's what actually makes the body and then also provides the shading.
Yeah, it's a little like this, like page I feel like Dave Gibbons could probably do.
Yeah,
you know,
kind of what I'm thinking of.
Oh yeah,
that's yeah, sick. He's really good, like way ahead of his time. Anyway, that's what that reminds me of, and I was really impressed by that. Other thing, why is it that all priest characters in comics are just guys that like are questioning their faith?
I think it's more interesting.
Is that the only way to make them interesting?
Because like that's the thing that they dedicated their lives to, and they're so sure about it. But
and
now
then they're
like,
I don't know. And what is interesting about this is that there's a clear sign that like, boom, your shit's been validated.
Yeah. You think you'd be stoked.
And he's like, no.
You knock it off.
Yeah. Any other priest would be like, oh yeah. And then he's like, I've been chosen, you know, I'm going to be the new fucking Pope.
I mean, yeah, I guess if you are like kind of working for God, you know, you think they would hire within.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, so you think other priests would be like, what the fuck? Why you?
Yeah. Like, this is like the worst Christian.
He's like, I work so hard.
Yeah.
Interesting. That would be kind of cool too. I would like that perspective. Mm-hmm. Like a jealous priest. I think that's cool. This guy is just questioning his faith. And I just think he's even dumber because there's clearly Jesus in front of you, you know?
Yeah, because there's going back to the sad priest trope. It happens in like Gideon Falls.
Yeah.
It happens in
probably like a Daredevil.
Outcast. You remember that Robert Kirkman book?
Yep.
Preacher. It's pretty, it's a layup.
Well, and are you talking about
probably an Ed Brubaker thing?
Are you talking about Mr. Preacher?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Jesse
Custer. I think he does believe in God.
Yeah.
But I guess like when he's hosting mass. What do you call it? When he performs holding mass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is he at the beginning of the book? He doesn't really.
It's very brief, right? When they show it, and like the show, it feels like he's really like struggling to like. Get the hang of it, just being a good preacher.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. But, so, yeah, same thing.
And I'll read it every time.
Is it always small town priests? Why is there never like a big ass priest?
Yeah, the one in like New York or something.
Yeah, one in New York. It's got like 5,000 people.
Or like one of those like crazy churches like in the South where there's like 1,000 people showing up in these gigantic churches.
Like it's a Super Bowl halftime show. I want one of those priests being like, ooh, I don't know.
Have you seen that video of like that priest? He's like, you know, the young people just aren't coming to church anymore. We can't even afford our zip line, you know? And they're like, our zip line's a very important part of mass. And so I guess the priest is just lifted up or something on the zip line.
No way.
For like the mass or something.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Like, I would go to mass.
Yeah. One of those.
Like
that,
yeah. I want like fireworks.
I want the Cirque du Soleil of church.
Yeah, dude. I want them to like fling water on me, but like they're like also doing flips over the whole crowd, you know? And then like fireworks when he drops a hard bar.
Yeah, it looks like
the fire show. I want those like EDM laser lights and shit. that would be.
It's like the lights point at you like, you are blessed.
You. That's what religion needs to turn into.
I know. That would get the young kids audience.
Yeah.
There just needs to be an EDM church. Easy.
100%. So Father O'Higgins, Daniel, he's still holding mass. But it's got this like weird context because he doesn't really believe in God, but also there's Jesus.
You think there'd be more people in this church?
Yeah, you think people being like
knowing that Jesus is real here,
they would be like, "All right, let me
we have to repent real quick."
Yeah, can you start over actually from the beginning?
Yeah, if I reconfess now, because does that cover everything?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I feel like this should be packed because as of right now, there's like 8 people
right.
in his mask. So, and then meanwhile in the town, they're very aware of Jody's powers. Some dude calls Jody's mom, telling her that they're going to go pick up Jody the next day, now that he's raised enough and developing powers.
Yeah, and she gets like super pissed when she gets that call.
Yeah.
I mean, she knows what's going on here.
Like, so she knew that this would happen.
Yeah.
Right? But she seemed so surprised in the beginning.
Yeah.
That like this was all happening.
I guess like maybe she didn't think anything was actually going to come from it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess you wouldn't naturally, especially after like 12 years and you're like, whatever.
I think my favorite part of this book is Jody goes to his like principal's house. And like his principal's like mom is like bedridden and
has like a brain tumor.
Is really sick. Yeah. Has cancer.
I think it's his history teacher.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
But anyway, does it matter?
No, I'm just
someone at his school. And, yeah, yeah. And so he goes to her and he like chooses not to heal her because she's like content with life and she is content with dying knowing that heaven is real.
She looks like a zombie already.
She does. She doesn't look great.
Yeah. And so,
So like healing her would just like prolong her life when she's like, she's good.
She did it.
Right.
But there's also an interesting piece of dialogue in there where that dude is trying to talk to his mom and he's like, you said to never pull the plug. And then she has to rebuttal with like, that was like before I like did everything. You know, if I had my brain tumor healed, I would just be kind of in a bed still, kind of. I wouldn't be able to, like, do much.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do think that's an interesting point. Because, like, he can heal people, but he asks them first. He's like, do you right. want this taken? And, yeah, I think that's a good show of character.
Mm-hmm.
So, Father O'Higgins and Jody's history teacher are in a diner. And O'Higgins is like, I still don't have faith or whatever. Which is crazy. And so the teacher convinces him to pray and ask for a sign to like be sure. Which basically comes in the form of the dog Angel getting hit by a different car and dying. And Father O'Higgins brings a dead angel to Jody to heal. Which he does, but it causes like this massive like power surge in like the town.
All the lights burst,
the windows burst, everything like turns like red for a second, and Angel's head is like in pieces, I guess. Like
they didn't show it. He's like in like a blanket or something.
It's like a whole thing. The descriptor of him doing Jesus powers and creating power surges and stuff, the description ends in people that are having sex come for 12 minutes.
There's a little Mark Miller for you.
I would be scared after minute two. I'd be like, what is happening?
I thought it rad.
Well, like, I would be like, this is freak. It would freak me out after 2 minutes. I'd be like, is this ever going to stop?
Yeah.
I just think that whole like last little bit, he just tacked it on at the end there as if we wouldn't notice. But Daniel, we have an important thing to discuss. We have a rule. In this show, dead dog equal bad book.
Revived dog.
However, yes, does this count as dead dog if dead dog brought back? And I don't know.
I think that's there's a slide on that.
I think they avoided it.
Yeah.
I think if they showed dead dog, maybe bad. But they didn't show dead dog and dead dog got brought back.
Yes.
So I think they're safe.
Good book. Oh, yeah. And then also, like, there's a lot of, like, lightning and shit, so it's like a very big thing that him doing this and like mustering up all his power
100%. And there's like kind of some foreshadowing or whatever, because when he's like, when he's really getting into it and his like white, his eyes go like all white,
yeah,
it's very colored red, and so you're like, that's the devil color, you know.
It's the devil color.
So they did a good job putting like all these hints in here,
yeah,
without making it very obvious. But once you know, it's kind of interesting to go back and look.
Mm-hmm.
So after this, Jody's taken off to go meet his father, which is revealed to not be God, but Satan. And there's like a jump to the future or the present, whatever you want to call it, where he's like all grown up. And it confirms that grown up Jody is in fact the son of Satan. And he's talking about like, I thought I was the hero at first because everybody thinks they're the hero of their own story, but turns out I'm the Antichrist or whatever. So cool twist, I guess.
I think he's like the president or something.
I don't. Yeah, he is the president because someone calls him Mr. President.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would vote for someone I thought was Jesus, I guess.
You'd vote for Satan?
Not the Satan. No, no one knows he's Satan, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
But there's an interesting thing where like his face is always silhouetted and nobody else's is. So yeah. Like something happened to his face clearly. mm-hmm. and I don't really know what. I just think it's interesting. But yeah, so at first I was like, I was reading this and I didn't really pick up that they were going to meet his dad. And so the lady was like, we're going to go see Satan. And I'm like, that seems weird. Why don't they go see his dad? And so I missed the one line where it's like, we're going to go see your dad. And so I was like, what's the twist here? Who's this man?
Yeah, when they went. OK, so when they took him, they're like talking about how they needed to like train him, you know, train him to use like his powers, I guess.
Yeah.
And they kept saying that something's going to happen in like 21 years. And I think like this jump forward was 21 years.
Ooh, makes sense. So he'd be 31, 33.
Something like that.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the end of book one. So now let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
Daniel, this book is a total of like 75 pages of story and the whole book is like 99 pages. So like a big quarter, like a quarter of it is Back Matter, which is interesting for how short it is.
Yeah.
So it starts off with like an interview
kind of thing.
But it's like Peter Gross or Mark Miller just interviewing each other about the book.
Yeah, it's the gospel according to Mark Miller and Gross.
Yeah, and I think this was a really interesting read because this is where they talk about a lot of the hints and stuff that they put in there, why Mark Miller wanted to do this book. You know, he's like, oh, this shit's been in my brain for forever, like every writer says. Mm-hmm. Peter Gross was not the first choice, I guess.
No.
Which is weird because they talk about it. But they're professionals. I guess they work together on some other thing.
Cool.
So they talk about a lot of that. There's Afterwards by Brother Richard Hendrick. Is that like a religious thing, I guess? I didn't read this, actually. But there's two Afterwards by Brother John Hansen and Brother Richard Hendrick. So that might be kind of interesting.
St. Francis Friary. Maybe that's a church or something.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And in Dublin, Ireland.
Okay, cool.
In Blanchardstown. So maybe it's like a missionary or something.
Yeah. And then there's like what I love to see always is script to art. And it's just Peter Gross going through like what his thought process was on all of it. And so we see some really cool roughs from him, some inks and the whole process. So pretty cool.
Yeah. His roughs aren't too different from what the inks ended up being.
Yeah, I know. He's really strong with that. I think it seems like a lot of his initial ideas are what end up going to the page.
Yeah.
Also, apparently Father O'Higgins is based off of Philip Seymour Hoffman, and I totally see that. Do you know who that is?
Sure. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And
that's pretty much it. Dana, what would you rate this book?
I give it a like it.
Okay.
You know, maybe a nice trip to Coldstone after going to church.
Oh, nice.
That your mom promised you for going to church.
Okay, nice.
Or no, at that church that we always go to for like Christmas and stuff, there's like
donuts.
They have donuts and coffee. Maybe like a church donut and coffee.
That's what I was going to say. One donut, one Krispy Kreme donut.
Yeah. Or no, it's only like Bash's donuts. Like it's not Krispy Kreme would be lit though.
I think they have done Krispy Kreme before.
Maybe. It's normally like,
yeah.
Just like.
So I would say as a kid, I would always want two donuts because one Krispy Kreme donut's not a lot.
Their coffee's pretty good for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't drinking coffee as a kid.
Yeah.
But it would be one Krispy Kreme donut, like pretty good, and I like it. But I think two would be more fulfilling.
Sure.
Which is what I think about this trade. They should have done volume one and volume two together.
Yeah.
At least that's what I thought initially, but apparently volume two is completely different. So
yeah, like 140 pages, you know, having like two volumes, because volume two and three are like the same length.
Yeah.
And so it's like, could have been one complete story, but they didn't for some reason.
Has this been collected in its entirety?
Like one big
compendium thing? Omnibus?
No, because the third volume came out like this year. So maybe next year all of it would be together.
Is Jody in Big Game? Jesus?
So the Miller World reading order includes American Jesus. So I think the only things you really need to read are Nemesis and Wanted. Or Nemesis Reloaded and Wanted in order to understand Big Game. But the other ones, it's like, just kind of for context, I guess.
Okay.
And you can, it's probably more like cameo kind of things. You're like, oh, there's American Jesus. You know?
Oh my God, it's American Jesus.
Yeah, and there's the Utopian right next to him.
And there's the reborn old lady.
Yeah. So.
Anyway. Yeah, pretty solid. You know, I wasn't super excited reading this because this religious books put me to sleep, but I thought this one was pretty good and pretty short. So no complaints here.
Always nice.
And I was introduced to Peter Gross. So not bad. excited to see stuff with Tom King later, whenever they said it was going to come out. So let's go to the pull list, Daniel.
Winter.
Colon.
Shove it in your box.
The pull list, the pull list. What did you shove in your box?
What'd you get today?
Daniel got two new things. Ooh. Two number ones.
Ah.
A big game, which came out before?
It came out like a week or two ago.
Okay, well, my comic shop had it today, and so I was like, oh, thank God, I thought I missed it. So I picked that up.
Yeah.
The Frank Quietly cover, of course.
Ooh. I think I
thought about the David Earls one.
They hung on to one for me, and so I think I just got the A cover.
Okay. And then I picked up Dark Droids, which is nice, a Star Wars book.
Charles Soule?
By Charles Soule and Luke Ross.
I don't know Luke Ross.
He was on Thrawn. Which is really? A book that I read.
By Jody Hauser?
Maybe it wasn't Thrawn. It was Darth Vader. Not Darth Vader. Darth Maul.
You read that?
Final answer. Yeah, I did.
Okay. Cool. Did you read that or no?
No, I didn't read anything.
Yeah, that's one of the two things I'm getting this week. What else did you get?
Night Terror's Batman.
Batman.
Number two.
Mm.
So, yeah, excited for that. I've been enjoying those. But those are the things I picked up. What'd you pick up?
Sweet, sweet. Gonna get Dark Droids as well.
Yeah.
I hope it's about just some evil droids.
I hope it's a sleeper hit, you know?
Yeah.
Because I feel like I didn't know about it until I saw like just one tweet about it yesterday.
Yeah.
Or one X, whatever you call it.
Oh, yeah.
And
An X post?
An X post. An X, yeah. And so I saw it today, and there's a sweet foil cover where it's like R2-D2 and all foil, and it's shiny, and I didn't get that one, so I got the main one.
Yeah, for some reason, there's a ton of like these like Star Wars miniseries that are like starting right around now.
Fuck yeah.
Like that one, that Empire one that I told you about that I read, a bunch of stuff is popping up.
I think I got this because I saw C-3PO's on it, and I'm really holding on to just this idea that it'll be as good as that C-3PO one shot that we read.
Ooh, that's a tough ass, dude.
Twice.
It did slap twice.
I was so scared that when we read that for the one shots episode 111.
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty good episode.
Good episode.
We read the C-3PO one shot. That was fucking phenomenal. Way better than it ever deserved to be. I read it and I was like, they knew you need to read this right now.
Yeah, and then I did.
And then you did, and we were like, oh my God, so good. And we read it for the pod, because that was before we even read comics for other people.
Yeah.
And it's still good. So, yeah, if that's even a fraction as good as that C-3PO one-shot, I'm going to be very happy with that series.
I'm sure it's not going to be quite as fulfilling.
But why are the droids dark? Who knows?
They got a bad chip. Maybe they belong to Dr. Aphra or something, you know?
She's a good guy.
She works for Darth Vader.
Yeah, but then she's a good guy.
Is she?
Right? I don't remember the book.
Her droids are like homicidal.
Hmm. Good point. Anyway.
And then I'm also getting New Bird number 9.
Nice.
Yeah.
Just only on 9?
Yeah. So the first trade's 8 issues. Mm. And then there's like
big,
a hiatus.
Big break.
Yeah, big break. So number 9.
And I should catch up on that.
Yeah, I have been catching up on it. I'm on like 5 right now.
Oh, okay.
And that book is so good.
Really?
As like a crime comic. It's like...
I feel like it's better bingeable because there's a lot of names, you know?
Not that many, honestly.
Well, it's like crime families and stuff. And so you got to like kind of know what's going on.
Yeah, you just got to know like the albinos and like the Carraros. And then like there's like this... some dragon family, which is just the Yakuza.
Okay.
And so it's not super difficult.
Nice.
But every issue, I'm like, that was a good fucking issue. It's kind of like, it's very episodic, you know, to where like one issue is like this thing, you know, but it is the overarching story is just New Bern and then...
Like a Sopranos?
Kind of.
Okay. You know more than me.
So. Not a bad way to look at it. Sometimes things carry over, like in Sopranos, but in this, it's like...
Not really.
The issues are very like self-contained in a way.
Hmm.
You know, I don't really think you'd really have to read the last one, but I'm just where I'm at right now. Hopefully it kind of feels like an arc at the end, but it is very good. It's not as dense as you'd think a crime comic could be.
That's good.
And just the fact that Chip can like pull this off.
He's so good.
Is like unfair. I'm like, who do you think you are? Just being good at everything.
You were the Howard the Duck guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go draw more penises or something. But anyway, yeah, real good book.
Yeah.
Did you read anything?
I read so much.
I bet.
I read the first two issues of In Hell We Fight by John Layman and Jock, but not the Jock you know, probably.
Yeah, other Jock.
Other Jock.
J-O-K.
What a weird book. But I do like that it starts with the main character, and he hates frogs. And he gets killed by some frogs. And I'm like, I relate to this. Not the frog killing part, but the being afraid of frogs part.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm with you one-on-one.
The horror part of the book.
Yeah, me and you. Yeah, the horror part of the book is the frogs. And yeah, I mean, they're just like in hell. They're trying to get ice cream. They find an angel, and they're like, shit.
I didn't read number two, so.
Oh, that. I'm just going to say one part aspect of the angel that I like, but they can take their halo and fucking fling it like a frisbee and it cuts through people. It's really cool.
That's sick.
Yeah.
That should be biblical lore.
That should be, dude. I was like, wow, this is cool. It was kind of like a Captain America shield type thing, but but it cuts through people and it comes back and they just like put it back on their head. I was like, that was kind of fun.
Nice.
But yeah, I like it enough. I'll read issue three and see if I want to keep going with it, I think. But then I read the second Night Terrors book, the main book.
Okay.
And
number two came out for that?
Number two just came out for last week. And yeah, pretty good. It's like some Sandman stuff in there. So, but like JLA Sandman stuff.
Yeah.
So Neil Gaiman Sandman stuff was JLA Sandman stuff, but they feel like very different people, right?
So the Detective Sandman?
Detective Sandman is different because he's not Morpheus.
No.
Morpheus.
Morpheus.
So yeah, I don't really know how that all works.
Morbius.
No,
not Morbius.
Morbius is the vampire. Morpheus is right. He's also... There's two Morpheuses. Morphei, if you will.
Wait, isn't Morpheus the one from, like, The Matrix?
Yes. But same it's name? Also Morpheus in Sandman, I'm pretty sure. Hold on. I'll bet $2.
Oh, Morpheus. All right, you're right.
Yeah, okay. Whew. Thank God. Yeah, so some Sandman stuff in there, which is cool. I like...
So not Neil Gaiman.
It's not Neil Gaiman Sandman. He's not like all weird and skinny and
but
stuff.
But the fact that like Dr. Destiny is like the villain in it...
Which is... He's not.
Or he's a part of it.
He's a part of it. He hid the Nightmare Stone.
And they're still like doing like Sandman Universe stuff. Is that separate?
I don't know, dude. Ah. I don't know.
Anyway.
That is probably some of the most weird, confusing continuity.
It's so funny that they're trying to like keep him
they're
like relevant.
Yeah, we have Sandman.
We got two, man.
Yeah, but you see more of like... Like what Red Tornado's doing, you know, and stuff like this.
Oh, thank God.
And well, like just like what the Awake Heroes are doing.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of cool. So because I knew that they were a thing, but I didn't know what they were like working on, what their working theories were.
Yeah.
Also, apparently the Zatanna spinoff Night Terrors one has Robot Man in it from Doom Patrol. So I was like, ooh, maybe I should pick that up.
Try to sell me on it.
Maybe. I don't know. You should read it and tell me if it's good. I read Superman Last Days of Lex Luthor by Mark Waid and Brian Hitch.
Any good?
Really good. Mark Waid has been crushing it lately.
Yeah.
I don't know how he's had this like crazy like resurgence where he like...
He's kind of always crushed. We're just like
reading his
stuff.
He's kind of always crushed, but he's really cranking out bangers right now. Is it just me?
I haven't read that, so
because
I can't confirm.
He's done some stuff at Marvel that I like wasn't crazy about, like some Avengers that I wasn't like 100% in on. And then he's done some like Ant-Man, which I just didn't read, so I guess I don't really have any say on that. But I don't know. I really like his DC stuff right now.
Are you still reading Shazam?
I have number two. Number three has not come out yet. So.
Oh, wow.
It's like on the top thing to read. Well, because like all the Donna DC stuff is Night Terror stuff now.
Yeah.
But there's different creative teams on the Night Terror stuff, so it doesn't really feel like it's like a tie-in book that they had to do.
I hope the Doom Patrol isn't like a tie-in.
No, I don't think it is.
Yeah, since it's like limited, but
yeah.
Never know.
But anyway, I think Brian Hitch should always do his work in prestige format, because his shit is wild in this book. The cityscapes, Daniel.
The cityscapes.
The metropolis.
The buildings.
Unbelievable. And it puts Superman in a really peculiar position. Do you want me to just tell you what it is, or do you want to read it? Are you going to read it? Do you have it?
I want to read it. How much was it?
I don't know. I just have it like that, you know?
I saw it. It looked expensive, you know?
It probably is. But basically, Lex Luthor's dying, and he gets Superman's attention, right, by, like, doing some shit to where Superman would have to go fix it. And he goes, Lex Luthor's like, Superman, I'm dying. There's no way I could fix it, but I know that you won't let me die. And Superman's like, shit, he's got a point there. You know, because Superman might have a way of helping, but Lex Luthor obviously is a bad guy. They thought that they were talking in a private room, but Lex Luthor is broadcasting that to everybody on Earth. And so he has proof that Superman's like, okay, I'll help you, Lex Luthor.
Hmm.
And so, like, that's a peculiar position, but he's still helping out Lex Luthor. I think it's really cool. good Brian Hitch stuff. Also, Brian Hitch came out with his second book, Ultimate Invasion.
Number two.
I read that as well. Still don't know what's going on.
Good.
And then I read the first Brave and the Bold.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I read the Tom King one, Dan Mora stuff.
Yeah. Was that sick?
That was really good.
I was like, what is this?
I was like, good. Fucking good for him. Apparently, though, the third part of the Brave and the Bold stuff from Tom King and Mitch isn't going to come out until Brave and the Bold 5.
What?
Yeah. So
I think I bought the third one.
Is there a third one out? Because I don't think there is.
Oh, no, I do have number two. And so I just bought the third one.
So the third one's out?
Yeah, I think it came out last week.
Ooh, I'll have to find it or maybe not. I don't know. Because I would still buy it to read.
I think there's still $8.
Yeah.
For the Mitch Garrett stuff?
Yeah.
Dude, wasn't his shit so good?
He is really good with the Joker.
Well, you read that already, didn't you?
I read the first part.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. I like the Dan Mora stuff, obviously. And then I like the Ed Brisson stuff.
Yeah, it's a cool team. It's just like random.
Mr. Bones or whatever.
Yeah.
He's part of that.
There's some other one. I can't remember what it was.
There was a Superman one that I thought was interesting enough. So I was like, okay, I'll read this if I'm buying it anyway. I can't remember who it was by for the life of me, but there was something. But yeah, that was everything I read.
I read this.
Oh, and Tenement. I read 1 and 2 of Tenement by Jeff Lemire and Andrea Sorrentino.
Did you read the Black Feathers one?
No. You don't need to, really, but
I'll do it the way they want me to.
Okay.
But I think I bought that. I read this manga. It's called Blood Blockade Battlefront.
Triple B.
Triple B, yeah. It's a tongue twister. It's just So I got it because they're going to read it on Manga Splaining.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I only listen to their episodes if I've like read the manga.
Sure.
You know? They don't really like spoil things in their episodes, but like I think it's
it helps funner if to listen read to it, yeah.
If you've read it. And I don't really know if I know the plot.
Did you read it?
Or why like the main character is important after reading this.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's like this. It's in like New York, I think. And for some reason, this like wall of light surrounded New York. And no one can get in. But everyone that's in it is stuck, I guess.
Okay.
And there's like a bunch of monsters living in like New York. And it's really cool. It's got a very like Star Wars kind of vibe, you know, just kind of walking through a planet.
Sounds like a YA type book.
No. Like novel. I mean, you know? I don't think there's anything like adult about it necessarily. But there's like a lot of like violence and stuff like that.
Let me clarify. It sounds like one of those ideas that would be in a young adult novel that would be adapted into a movie, like a Maze Runner type shit.
Yeah.
Okay, but continue.
Yeah, I could see that. Really cool monsters, like the designs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But what was odd about this is like, I feel like all the manga that I've read, like the artwork has been like stellar and like perfect.
Yeah, they really crush it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, like who draws like this?
Yeah.
But this one, like not as much. Still really good and better than I could draw, you know?
Is it just a different style that you don't like as much? Or like technically you could tell that there's a difference?
Technically you could tell.
Okay,
you
interesting.
Know? It looks like normal like manga art, but it just like some lines like aren't perfect and it can be like a little tough to like read, I guess.
Oh, okay.
And manga does this super annoying thing where like they'll have like the speech bubbles, but you're not sure who they belong to.
Mm.
Like they don't have the tail. They'll just kind of be there and then multiple people in the panel.
Tail is crucial.
You're not sure who's talking.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to continue with this, but that is something I read.
Interesting.
Is infuriating. So okay. I'm just because normally when they explain things, they get into like details, you know? And so
they're very meticulous about it.
Yeah. And so when they talk about on that episode, maybe there's something I missed or they'll just piece something together that I didn't pick up on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, pretty good.
Do you watch a lot of anime?
Not really. I'll pick one and then just kind of work on that, like watch an episode for cardio and then move on. So like, it's kind of like a reward for doing cardio in a way. I'm working through Attack on Titan.
Okay.
I'm on like season 3 right now.
The reason I asked is because I was at my girlfriend's parents' place.
Okay.
And Sophia and her sister are pretty into anime.
Yeah.
And her parents are like, I don't get it. And they're like, it's so good. Oh my God. And then they were like, give me one anime to watch.
Yeah.
One that I would like, you know. Mm-hmm. And they were like, Full Metal Alchemist. And I was like, I don't think so.
That's still kind of like a reach, you know.
100% it is. And I feel like if I were to recommend something to somebody to like, so they can get it, like the, like, I think Zom 100 is like a pretty good start.
Yeah, it's a, I'd say it's a good start because it's not, it doesn't have like manga, like.
It doesn't have like weird plots. Alchemy science.
Yeah.
Shit like Full Metal Alchemist does.
Concepts that are just kind of really big and a little confusing.
It's like a little horny, but like not too horny, like Zom 100. So,
yeah.
Like some of them are like really horny. So.
Definitely. Yeah, I'd say that. I think Attack on Titan's pretty accessible. Like, I know it's like giants and stuff,
yeah.
But you like get giants, you know, or like monster books or monster movies, you know. And so I think because it has like that horror kind of aspect that I guess people can kind of imagine, I think that makes it kind of interesting.
That's interesting, yeah. Okay. But yeah, I just disagreed so hard with what they said with Full Metal Alchemist.
Did they try? Like,
no.
Are they going to?
I told them not to.
Did you watch that Adam Eve episode?
I have not yet.
Really? Okay. Did you watch Zom 100?
I did, yeah.
Yeah?
So it's past where we've read in the book.
Yeah. Where you've read in the book.
Where I read in the book. We, as in, you know, for the pod. But yeah, so I have no idea what's going on, like, past this. Is it still, like, pretty one-to-one?
Yeah.
You remember?
Yeah, this one is, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm still liking it.
Yeah, they meet some flight attendants, and I guess wine and dining flight attendants was on their
list. So specific.
Yeah. And very lucky that they got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what I like about this one is like there's like one-on-one time with Akira and this like one of the flight attendants, and she like gets bitten, and she is just like this like very touching moment. And then she like kind of sacrifices herself while she's still like lucid.
Yeah.
To like kind of like save him, even though they could have probably both ran for a little while.
Yeah, they probably could have both been good.
But it was so strange that he was so broken up about this very short relationship that was last like a couple hours, you know?
Yeah.
And so.
Well, I think there's not a many chances like they are going to get.
Yeah, yeah. And so that was like their first interaction with like people for like a while, you know? And when she gets like tackled that one time in like the silence.
Yeah, really strong.
I love that. Yeah. I was like, this is cool.
That was a good creative choice.
Yeah.
Also, it would have been so hard to take that TV on a motorcycle and like hang on to it.
Oh, yeah. And so this traumatic thing just happened. He's like crying and is like running to find Kencho. And he's like, I got a TV.
And he's like, no fucking way.
They're like, let's go. they really turn around the mood really fast.
Yeah. The any new character. It's interesting because I feel like in zombie shows, you get like a new character and you're like, oh, I wonder if they're like going to die like later on. But in this show, you meet a new character and you're like, I wonder if they're going to survive this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I think is quite the twist on most zombie TV shows. But yeah, I'm still enjoying it.
Just a couple shows that I watched. Futurama is back.
Okay.
You should watch it. It's very good. It's on Hulu.
They're in Fortnite now. Did you see that?
No, you can be like Bender in Fortnite. You can be
Bender in Fortnite.
Fuck yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
But no, this last episode was like the first episode was like very funny.
Really? Okay.
And it has.
Because later Futurama seasons, if I remember correctly, aren't like incredible.
I don't know. Because we watched it on like.
Hulu?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we used to watch it on like Adult Swim. So just whatever the fuck came on. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where I got to necessarily. I've never like binged it. But like I watched this like late at night. And so I had like this like nostalgia of watching Adult Swim, you know, and like
loopy,
the fucking like intro is like the same. So I'm like, oh man,
those chimes.
Yeah.
Love those chimes.
So yeah, this is a really good episode. You should like watch it.
Okay.
Good Omens came back.
Oh yeah.
Season 2. I don't think it's quite as good as season 1, but like the vibes are still there.
Okay.
So the season 1 was based off like the book Good Omens by Neil Gaiman and Terry Fletcher?
Book?
Novel.
Okay.
And so they only wrote the one book, and I think the other author like died. So they never like, Neil Gaiman didn't just make another one without him.
So the show's extrapolating?
Yeah. So okay. they're freestyling season 2. And so I'm still like happy that it's like there.
Cool.
And so I'm watching that pretty good. Just watched season one.
Maybe. How many episodes? This season
six.
One? How long?
Hour.
I'm just kidding.
You got the time.
Oh. Yeah, I do.
Did you watch Suits?
Yeah. Pretty solid. Lois Lane's angry. She's like, you were lying to me. How could you? And I'm like, it's pretty obvious why he would. She jumps off a building, which is crazy.
That was fun. That was cool.
She was so sure.
I was like, she's got him.
That is quite the checkmate.
Yeah.
That's all I remember.
One of the reporters mentioned Starro. He's like, oh, that one thing that happened in Germany or whatever. He's like, that one alien.
Is he talking about the Suicide Squad?
Yeah, the Suicide Squad.
That's canon, I guess. Loosely? Interesting. Yeah, I do remember that.
I was like,
Probably best not to think about it too hard, but yeah.
it was just like a fun thing.
Was it's that
probably,
in Germany?
It's probably not canon.
No, I think it was in like a, South American country?
He said like Lindenburg or something. I think
that sounds right, yeah.
I think it's in Germany.
Never mind.
Anyway. Deathstroke is in this,
dude. Yeah, I
he had a fucking sword gun, dude.
I hear Terry,
Jerry. Isn't that funny?
I hate you for it. I never would have noticed.
It wasn't that noticeable in this one. If you go rewatch that episode where Joker shows up, it's abundantly clear.
Okay,
you see a sword gun?
Yeah, sword gun. Cool.
I was like, shoot it. I want to see what it looks like. And yeah, so he slices this pillar of this highway. Mm-hmm. And Superman has to hold it up. And I guess he's got welding powers.
Yeah, it's the heat vision. But he welds concrete.
Concrete, yeah. And that's not how it works. You don't just heat it up and it melts, you know?
Have you tried?
I have not. Yeah, so I just thought that was funny.
Yeah,
I was like, wait a minute.
That's a classic, Superman, oh shit, I gotta go do this now situation.
Yeah.
There's only one suit up scene where he Sailor Moons,
Yeah.
And I need that more, I think.
I really like that.
I do like that aspect.
Did you watch anything?
I watched Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Because
you told me, you're like, okay, give me one movie and I'll watch it this week. And then I didn't watch that week, but then you never brought it up. And so I watched it this week.
Watch it with Sophia?
No.
Okay, so.
I should, though. I think she would love it.
Yeah, she probably would.
Because
last week was like, I didn't want to just bring up a bunch of stuff that me and you talk about, since we had a guest, so. What'd you think?
It's like a top 5 movie, I think.
Like ever?
Yeah, I think so.
Super good, right?
I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Are you mad at yourself you didn't watch it sooner?
No, I knew it was good. But I was just being dumb.
Do you think it deserved movie of the year? Best picture?
Yeah, probably.
What was your favorite part?
Raccoonie.
Yeah.
I was like, this is such a weird thread that they took to the end.
Yeah.
It's a whole movie, a whole spinoff, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a really funny movie in, ways that it meant to be, in some ways that it didn't. And it's also one of those movies where it stresses you out because you want her to just not have to deal with this on top of the IRS.
Right.
At the same time, and I'm like, oh, this is so awkward. She's in the IRS and she jumps and freaks out in the middle of the IRS meeting. I'm like, oh, this is so awkward. And I feel so bad for her. She's just trying her best.
Yeah.
There's a sweet line at the end where it's the Ki Hui Kwan character in whatever universe where they didn't get together. And he's like, in another universe, I would have loved to do laundry and taxes with you or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, oh, God. I actually cried. I was like, such a weird line to cry at because it sounds so weird out of context, but in context it's very good.
Yeah, it's very good.
I've seen a lot about the making of this movie and how the hot dog fingers were real.
Oh yeah.
And they weren't CGI and stuff, and so I was looking out for some of that.
Yeah,
but even knowing that, it's not really spoilers because there's the whole subplots of in a different universe where she has hot dog fingers, she's in love with the IRS agent person.
Yeah.
But then she uses that knowledge to be I love you, and reach it. Yeah. So there's every character had a weird arc and mm-hmm. I respected it. It was cool.
A bunch of those props were just sold at auction and those hot dog fingers went for $4,000.
Yeah. That's the coolest thing you could possibly get, I think, out of this.
I guess
maybe the butt plugs, but
the fanny pack that he was fighting with, that went for $20,000 for some reason.
Ooh. Yeah. That would be a good one.
Yeah. And so
Yeah, and it's also cool with the context knowing that they got awards for this.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure if you watch it in theaters, you're like, that was really good, but I don't know if they'll get properly recognized for something like this.
I saw that before, like, Doctor Strange. I'm like, this is probably going to be, like, best multiverse movie, like, of the year or of all time, you know?
I mean, yeah, definitely.
So.
Yeah, I think they did it right. And they kept the multiverse stuff confusing on purpose. You know, like, some of it's confusing.
But you don't have to, like, understand
it. You don't have to understand it. But yeah. Also the representation of, like, all the different universes, how you access them. Like, it's very visually represented pretty well. Like, there's, like, a little map. And I like how you access some of the different things by doing random things, you know, that, like, don't make sense. And so you connect with a different universe. But, like, the rules, they fleshed out as much as you needed to know, really. So I thought that was cool. And then Rakakuni was just insane. So I enjoyed that a lot.
I like that bit where, like, it's just showing Michelle Yeoh's, like, face, and then it's just her in, like, all these different universes.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, that probably just took so much time.
Yeah, you know? I think I saw, like, a making of that, and that was, like, all individual things that they had to do, so it took forever, obviously.
Yeah.
And Michelle Yeoh's just the GOAT.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I love that movie.
It's great. So, and then Secret Invasion finale, I guess we could talk about it real quick. It's kind of hot garbage, isn't it?
You know, the Super Skrull battle was kind of cool.
Like, yes and no. Like, I was like, this is creative, I think. But
I like seeing, like, the little Drax arm.
The Drax arm was cool.
But, like,
the other arms are confusing. Who's the ice person? People are saying a frost giant. When do they get that DNA?
I was like, who's, like, this person with, like, the telepathy? You know, but it was like
Ebony Maw.
Ebony Maw, yeah.
And so it's like, when did you get his DNA?
Right. And then, like, on, like, the Weekly Planet, they're talking about, like, how there's just, like, a bunch of just, like, punchy characters that are in this.
Yeah.
But, like, just use the Hulk. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you have the best one.
Yeah.
Of the strong people, you just use the Hulk. Like, just use a couple of those, you know?
Yeah.
Also, it's like, she uses Mantis's powers.
Oh, yeah.
Does she have to know who these people are? Was she briefed on, like, how to use them?
Maybe it's in the news. Yeah, because I was confused because, like, it was like, she's Nick Fury, and then she brings that flash drive thingy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why the fuck would he give him that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then I realized, like, it was to use a machine, and then she would have all the powers and whatnot.
So if Nick Fury was there, he wouldn't get powers because he's not a Skrull?
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense.
Only works for Skrulls,
I guess. Gravik's performance, like, that actor, whatever his name is.
He did his best. His name's Kingsley something.
Something Kingsley, yeah. And, like, I think he's a good actor, but I think that everything else kind of did him dirty, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's, like, at the end where he's, like, yelling, and he's, like, there's very clearly, like, a pretty good performance going on.
Sure.
But for some reason, I recognize it as a good performance, but I didn't really care about what was happening, you know?
Yeah.
No big twists in here for me. Because I knew about the roadie thing from the beginning, because obviously.
Yeah.
All good characters in the show are dead by the end.
Mm-hmm.
Like Maria Hill, or what's his face? Talos.
Ben Mendelsohn.
Yeah, Ben Mendelsohn. Because I kind of like him. He's in a tough spot, but then he's just dead. And so I'm like...
Mm. I'm happy for his career that he's dead in this.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I am too. Maybe that was a part of the contract. When does Fury, like, actually get his shit together in any significant way? Like, when is that shown, you know?
When does Fury what?
Like, actually get his shit together. You know, because there's a whole sequence where he's, like, putting on his eye patch or whatever, which you don't need. Like, why would that be in its own cubby? No.
Didn't his eye patch used to do something?
It should do something, I feel like.
I don't know.
But, like, I feel like there's not a point where he's like, yeah, I'm back, baby, you know?
I can't remember, like, what happened before he went to go get his eye patch, but I'm assuming that was the thing.
He went to his grave to get the DNA stuff.
Okay.
There was, like, the DNA stuff in one of his gravestones.
Okay.
Rhodey was, like, way too pushy of the president.
Yeah.
I'm He's like, sir, we need to fucking bomb them right now. Like, I'm telling you, we need to do this right now. I'm not a Skrull, though.
Like, you're looking suspicious, bro.
Yeah.
But maybe that's how the president likes to be informed or consulted on.
And then he goes back to space at the end? Like, what happened?
Nothing
happened.
This show didn't do anything.
There's still Skrulls on Earth. There's a million.
Yeah.
He's back up in space, except he's got a Skrull wife now.
A million minus a couple, but...
Yeah, and so it's like, what? Why do I care? And I don't. And I never have, and I never will. So, I don't know. That's what I say.
I think these shows, like, help if they, like, do something, you know, like they like affect the movies in a way.
Yeah, like WandaVision, there's white vision now.
Yeah, in Loki, there's Kang, I guess. I guess that didn't really do anything yet, but that good show. So I guess like, I don't think you should have to watch the shows in order to understand what's happening in the movies.
Don't think that will be the case. I don't think it has been the case so far.
To understand,
but like you still understand that, like, oh, Wanda's bad now. That's crazy.
Yeah, but like,
if you just want to see how she got to that point, then you just watch WandaVision, I guess. But
yes,
yeah, well, no, because she's good at the end of WandaVision.
She dies.
She doesn't die at the end of WandaVision. Yeah, like she's not evil at the end of WandaVision.
Yeah, yeah.
She just has kids and she wants them.
It's just like context, I guess.
Yeah, so I don't think you really need to watch any of the shows.
But you'll see, like, and you watch Captain America and then Falcon will now have the Captain America outfit.
I guess we'll see how that plays out. There'll probably be like a thing where it's like, man, my life's been crazy up to this point.
I have my own TV show.
He's going to run around the Washington Monument or whatever he does. And then he's going to be like, man, I remember when I used to do this, but now I'm Falcon, Captain America.
Yeah. Captain Falcon America.
Yeah, yeah. And
Captain Eagle.
None of these shows have really landed their ending, and this one's no exception.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's talk about Super Skrull powers. I like that there is a Super Skrull.
Yeah.
You don't really need all those powers.
How
does she know? Could she like turn completely into Drax if she wanted to?
It seems like it's just your arms.
Is it just your arms and your leg?
Did anyone use their legs? Oh, I guess she had like Captain America or Captain Marvel powers.
Yeah, she could do a big blast.
She was all like going Super Saiyan, or you know,
do that in the beginning, right? Probably. That first.
Yeah.
Who's?
When like just her whole body Hulk out? Because like I don't know, when you see Super Skrulls, they still look like Skrulls in like the comics, you know?
Yeah,
but they just keep their
face.
Yeah.
So I guess that's kind of true.
But also, wouldn't it make more sense if they were in like the Skrull makeup the whole time?
But then it'd be confusing on who's who. Like, who am I rooting for in this, you know?
I don't know. Gravica's, like, pretty big.
He is pretty big, but it would be, like, I guess they wanted to keep Emilia Clarke's face because it's, like, she represents the people.
Sure.
And, I don't know.
We'll probably never see her again.
I hope not.
There's, like, a handful from, like, the shows that we'll just, like, never see again.
Yeah. It's crazy that the only show I've liked is She-Hulk. Because it knew what it was.
That was probably the only one that's like was done like that well.
Yeah.
I liked all of them to an extent. You know, there's like, I didn't like this.
I never liked this one.
there's like some parts I could have shaved it down in 30 minutes. So it was just really solid, you know, but
yeah, it's weird that the last two episodes were much shorter than like the first three or four.
I don't even think the fifth episode was
like
important.
37 minutes, mm-hmm. I think I saw. And so it was like, I don't know, it's crazy. And I don't...
oh, thank God.
I just feel... Yeah, I know, me too. And I just feel like Nick Fury's a bitch now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like he's got the same smarts or whatever that he's had before, or like sass.
He always felt like he's like a couple steps ahead of everybody, and he had like this big plan for everything. But now it's like, why is he here? Like, why do we need him still?
We don't. I mean, like, I don't know who's going to run S.H.I.E.L.D. now because Maria Hill's dead. I don't know what that's going to look like, but...
Well, S.H.I.E.L.D. has been disbanded for a while. It's like S.W.O.R.D. that's around, right?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
I think he's got it. Like, the Marvels has got to be his last thing, right? Like, he retires or dies or something?
Probably.
Because, like, I can't... After how much, like, shit he'll probably get from this, like, I can't imagine him, like, wanting to keep doing this.
Yeah, he'll probably stop.
Especially if he's already at like this, he's already had this like old arc, you know?
Yeah, he'll probably stop for a while after Marvels and then like Secret Wars is going to come out and he'll be in that probably.
Maybe, yeah.
It would be kind of funny if you met David Hasselhoff, Nick Fury.
Maybe.
If they're doing multiverse stuff, which they probably are. Anyway, that's all I want to talk about with that.
No. Marvel's getting a little rough. It's like, what are we doing here?
The shows are. I would argue. Some of the movies, I think, are solid.
Yeah, like they're like solid. I like them.
They're not any better or worse than I think that Phase 1 was.
Yeah, true.
So, did you watch any other shows? I finished Diablo 4.
Really?
Yeah, it took 26 hours.
It's pretty good.
And what's crazy is that after you finish the game, more of the game gets unlocked. So you could do more stuff.
But so you didn't finish it.
As soon as I finished the game, I uninstalled. But a lot of people, I put in 26 hours in the game. I have friends that have put in 26 days.
Wow.
Into the game. It's been out for probably like 40 days. So it's
sounds like they suck.
No, well, like you can do stuff way beyond just, you know, I don't know.
I don't like that. I don't like, I think side missions should be like,
it's not even like
10 to 20% of the
entire
game.
It's not even like side missions. There's like seasonal dungeons and stuff, and you can craft and you can, I don't know. It's
so if like, you like this game, you can play it for as long as you can, want.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why people like Diablo.
Yeah.
It's interesting because we read this very religious thing. I finished this very religious game. You should actually look up like just Diablo 4 cutscenes because they're fucking phenomenal.
There's an angel
in the game called Inarius. He's like one of the main angels. And the way that they represent angels is probably the coolest representation of any angel or devil or anything like that I've ever seen.
Cool.
Because their wings are just like these really glowy, like tendril looking things, but they like help them fly and stuff.
Mm.
And so it's really cool. And they have like this really sick armor and nice. Stuff. So, and like the cutscenes are like why I played the game pretty much. Even though you could just like look it up on YouTube, but like, anybody here, if you haven't seen it, just look up like Diablo 4 ending cutscene or ending fight or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Super cool. Nice. So,
I watched this movie called Talk to Me. It's a horror movie, mm-hmm. A24. It's an Australian horror movie, which is pretty cool.
I didn't know that.
The directors are twins. It's like Danny and Michael Lupo or something like that.
Okay.
Have you seen a trailer or anything like that?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, super solid.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear that. I hadn't even heard of the movie until in the group chat.
Yeah.
My sister was like, oh my God.
Yeah. So I saw a bunch of like TikToks about it, you know, from like movie accounts and whatnot. I'm like, they're getting paid to say this.
Yeah.
It didn't say ad at the bottom or anything. Cause sometimes it says that, but I'm like, all right, I'll check it out. Like there's enough in the concept, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, after seeing this, like this is something that like would happen. You know?
Okay.
So it's like this like taxidermy like hand or whatever that's mm-hmm. like encased in like the ceramic thing, and you can like summon demons with it, right? You like hold this hand and you say like, talk to me, and you open your eyes and you'll see a demon,
mm-hmm.
or, like a spirit or whatever. And you can say, they'll say like, I let you in or whatever. And then mm-hmm. they'll let them like possess. You let the spirit possess your body.
Kind of like a Ouija board, I guess.
Kind of, yeah. And so they let you like hold on to the hand for like 90 seconds, and then they take the hand away, and then you're like good.
Oh, okay.
And it kind of gets you like high, like a little.
Mm.
It's like an endorphin thing, I guess. I don't know. And so it's like a party game. Like these kids, there's like kids in high school that like just have this hand.
They would totally do that.
And they all fucking take turns.
So you're
and
saying
shit.
This would happen if this hand was real?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're all posting videos on like Snapchat and shit. And people are like, oh, this is fake. And then you go do it. And then you want to just keep doing it kind of thing. And then it just fucking spins out from there.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that happening for sure.
Everyone in the theater had like physical reactions to some of the shit that happens in this.
Gross?
Yeah, very gross. A couple, like...
Or is it like...
Like, not cheesy jump scares, both.
Okay.
You know, so lots of stuff. And it wasn't very predictable. It was...
Can I guess one of the things that happens?
Sure.
Does the hand grab you and break your arm?
No.
Okay. They should have done that.
I wouldn't like it if it moved. You know, I like that. It's just like this thing that... It doesn't hurt anybody unless you want it to hurt you kind of thing.
Is there a foot?
There's no foot.
Hmm.
Oh, so the hand belonged to like a medium or something.
Okay.
You know, those people who can talk to like spirits.
Yeah, okay. Well,
and,
that makes sense.
And there's apparently like another hand somewhere.
Oh,
like
a left hand.
They don't know. Yeah, the other
right hand.
The left hand was in the movie, so the right hand is somewhere.
The demons are lefties?
But yeah, really good movie. If you ever get the chance, definitely go see it. If anyone's listening, definitely go see it.
I might try and go see it in theaters.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
Also, one last thing.
Yeah.
Sarah went to go watch like her friend's house or something and their dogs. And so I had like...
Tons of time.
A night to myself. Yeah.
Nice.
Watch Good Omens. And I also watched this movie called They Live. Have you ever heard of this?
Mm-mm.
So it's a John Carpenter movie.
Okay.
It came out in like the 80s.
Yeah.
So... John Carpenter, he's like the one that made like The Thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or like,
I'm familiar with him. Yeah.
Yeah. Stuff like that. And I think this movie came out after The Thing. So the concept is like, there's this dude who like is figuring out that there's some like cult or something in this church. And he goes in there and finds this box of like sunglasses that they like made.
Oh, cool.
And when you put on like the sunglasses, you like see the world for like what it really is.
Hmm.
And like all these, it's like basically like the structures are all there, but like billboards will say like obey and stuff like that. And they'll say like
the clothing brand.
Yeah. I think this might be where like obey like came from.
Oh really?
That's yeah. Funny. Like the graffiti artist, like kind of took it from this.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And like all like the newspapers and stuff and billboards and things on TV, it's all like different propaganda for just like just being under control. And you can also see certain people that are like not human. There's like aliens or something. I assume they're aliens. Yeah, they're definitely aliens.
Skrulls.
Kind of like Skrulls. Yeah. Oh. And I guess there's some frequency that's played over television that everyone hears. And so therefore, because they hear this frequency, they cannot see like the aliens.
Okay.
And so I didn't really know anyone that was in this, but so this dude, he has like a friend that he like works with, and he's trying to get him to put on like the sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, he like just doesn't want to put them on. And it turns into this like 10-minute fight scene of them just fighting in an alley, and it just keeps going.
Trying to get him to put on sunglasses.
Yeah. Like you think like the fight's over, but they just get up and start fighting some more. And it's so funny because it's just like normal like kind of fight.
Yeah.
And so when this dude, he puts on the sunglasses, he goes and walks throughout like the city. He starts like yelling at one of the aliens. He's like, "You're ugly," and things like that.
Hmm.
And they have these like watches. They're like, there's someone over at this store that's like yelling and he can see us or whatever. And so like there's aliens in like the police force and whatnot. So the police come after him.
So they have the smart watches?
Yeah. So they all have like smart watches.
Okay.
And so the police aliens are trying to like get him, but he like kills them, takes their guns. He goes into a bank and sees like all the aliens like working in the bank.
Oh my God. The aliens control the banks.
Yeah. One of the best and weirdest lines he's like in any movie is like, "I've come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum."
Is that where that originates?
Yeah. Have you heard that?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard people like,
it's from that movie.
Really?
I even tried looking it up to make sure, but yeah.
Wow. That's where that.
And then he just starts slaughtering these aliens in like the bank. Everyone else thinks he's just fucking murdering people. You know what I mean?
Is it supposed to be like open-ended as like, is he actually the crazy or is he actually seeing this? Is it very clear that?
No, it's very clear that he's actually like seeing him.
Oh, okay.
So here's like one of the aliens. That's like what they look like.
Oh, that's fucked up.
Yeah. So I'll like spoil it. So the only part that I'd even recommend is just the first scene where he has the sunglasses is like the best part of the movie.
Oh, okay.
So it ends because like they figure out that he like becomes a part of that cult, and they figure out that the news channels are like, you know, what is making people see that. They blow up the thing that does that, and then everyone like kind of like snaps out of it or whatever. Like that scene was like a dude in a bar and everyone's like, "What the fuck?
When did an alien get here? I didn't see that."
Yeah. So they don't know how long they've been there. There's the aliens all over the news. I think the president's an alien, you know? And the last scene is there's this sex scene and it's a woman on top of a man and she looks at the TV and sees the alien on the TV. She's like, "What the fuck?" As she's like riding, and then she looks down and she's like, "Fucking alien." She's like, and the alien's like, "What's wrong, baby?"
That's funny.
I was like, "Oh, what a good movie."
That reminded me. I don't know why, but I didn't. I watched The Nice Guys. Shane Black,
Ryan Gosling.
Have you seen that movie?
Yeah, I saw it like not that long ago, a couple months.
Really good.
Great movie.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
I was...
That's how you know like Ryan Gosling was like funny. That was the first thing I saw him in. That was funny.
Yeah. We were like trying to find something to watch, and I think we were trying to watch the first Knives Out, which the second one's on Netflix, but the first one's not on any streaming service to like watch for free.
Huh.
Unless it might be on like Paramount or something.
Yeah.
And so we're like, what else can we watch? And while I was trying to find Knives Out, The Nice Guys came up and I was like, "Oh, I heard this is good." And it's great. I think it's super funny. And we were just chuckling the whole time. It was kind of late, so I think that contributed. But like one of the first scenes is like him being like a private investigator or whatever. And he's trying to like get into a bar to get like a receipt. And so he wraps like a thing around his hand to punch the glass out. But as he punches the glass out, he like cuts his arm like pretty bad. Ryan Gosling's character. Mm-hmm. And he has to like get rushed to the hospital and shit. We were laughing for like 20 minutes because it's so funny the way he does it. Because he's trying to be like so like, you know, confident and elegant.
Yeah.
And he punches it immediately, like looks at his arm. And he's like, he like can't believe it. And he like stumbles over. He like knocks over trash cans. I just thought it was really funny.
I remember that part.
It's like my favorite part.
There's like a clip of, I think, that movie where he like walks up to a bar. And he's like looking around. And then the bartender is like, what can I get you? He's like, it's an open bar. He's like,
yeah, because he's like, all the other like parts of the movie where they need to do like some real PI work, he's just gotten so drunk. And so it was really funny in that scene because he's like, no, this is serious. And he's like, and it's so funny.
I'm like, I'm sure it's from that movie, but I can't remember.
Yeah, it is from that movie.
And yeah, no, that's a really solid movie.
Yeah, I think it's great.
That was another movie that like Sarah just let me pick. And I'm like, yes.
Does she like it?
Yeah.
Was she laughing? Funny. Okay, good.
I think so. That's a movie that like definitely needs like a sequel.
Yeah, I would totally watch a sequel.
Yeah, super good.
So yeah,
I put Shane Black up there, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm like, keep an eye out for him, you know.
What are we gonna read next week?
Anyway, what are we reading next week?
Do we have a thing that we're supposed to read next week, or
like Ahsoka is coming out? Do you want to read a Star Wars book? Or are you good?
Could do an Eisner winner. Specifically do a power bomb.
Yeah, we can if you want.
Is that out on trade?
Yes.
I think we should do it because I have read the first three issues and I want to read the rest.
Okay. Yeah, it's cool.
Unless there's like an Ahsoka series, but I don't think there is, right?
There isn't. No, we just have to pick like another Star Wars thing.
Honestly. Is there a Star Wars thing that we want to read?
Lando? Hmm. Or like Chewbacca? Or we just do a power bomb?
Yeah, let's do a power bomb.
Do a power bomb.
Let's do a power bomb by Daniel Warren Johnson.
Yeah. Eisner winner
for best children's publication or something like teen publication.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Sounds good.
Pretty excited about that. We've never done a DWJ book. No, DWJ? We did. Wait, did we do? No, we were just reading
Jurassic League.
Well, that he didn't do the art on it.
Murder Falcon?
Nope. Marvel.
Beta Ray Bill.
Beta Ray Bill, thank you.
Yeah.
I was like, it's three names. I can't remember them.
Daniel Warren Johnson.
I think that's what fucked me up. Yeah, do a powerbomb. We're going to read that next week.
Ready.
Thank you for listening.
Yep.
If you want to recommend a Star Wars book.
Oh, yeah. TrailersPod@gmail.com.
Give us the sleeper hits.
Yeah. Give us some legends.
Yeah.
Star Wars legends.
If they're sleeper hits.
Tell us the deep cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Linktree is in the bio and the descriptions. Go like, comment, subscribe, stuff mm-hmm. like that.
And
5-star reviews, we love them.
Yeah, always good.
I've gotten like oddly competitive when it comes to like reviews. Like I'll see like I'll find like other podcasts that I like, and I'll just like look at their reviews. I'm like, how many 5-stars do they have? You know what I mean? And I just kind of want more than
I doubt we beat anybody.
I also want like more episodes than other people. Like when people are like slightly higher than us, I'm like, we need more episodes.
We need to crank out more.
2 a week. Yeah, and so
yeah, much appreciated if you can do that.
Yeah,
it takes a couple seconds and it's free.
Yeah, thanks y'all.
Peace.
Bye.